Welcome to the NCCF Teaching Podcast. We trust you find this encouraging. New Covenant Christian Fellowship is located at 205 North Pine Street in Woodland Park, Colorado. Our phone number is 719-687-6061. Our Sunday gathering is at 10 a.m. We trust you are blessed as you pore over God's Word with us.
Oh, the seas lift up.
Thank you. All right. Well, Pastor Chris asked me if I would be willing to, he said, would you pray about, would you like to speak here on Sunday? Because I'm starting the Bible study on when God's Spirit moves. And there's a sign up there if anybody else wants to sign up. And so I said, yeah, I'll pray about it. So I say, okay, Holy Spirit, do you want me to talk? And he goes, yes. And I'm going to go, oh, no. My heart starts pounding, you know, and it's like, oh, okay. And so I tell Chris, yeah, I'll do this. And so I sit down with Holy Spirit and I say, so what do you want me to speak about? And he gives me four words, friend, guide, protector, and dreams. And I'm thinking, friend, guide, and this is about Holy Spirit. And so, so I think, okay, yeah, I can do this, right? So then I immediately go get on my computer and I start looking up these things. And that frustration didn't happen. And it's like Holy Spirit is going, it's me. Come to me. And he really, it's like he gently rebuked me for like trying to find out about him when I already have a relationship with him and I can talk to him and hear from him. Why am I going and looking up on my computer? Sometimes I can be so dumb. Anyway, so that's those four things. Friend, guide, protector, and dreams. That's what he told me to talk about. So I sat down with him and I asked him, okay, show me what you want me to teach. Okay. So here, first off, I'm going to go through a lot of scriptures, and I'm not a pastor, so I'm not going to pause and let you look them up. I'm just going to go through them really fast. If you need a reference for something, you can always come to me later. Okay. John 14:16-17 says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, the Spirit of Truth, to stay with you forever. The world cannot receive him because it cannot see him or know him. But you know him, and for he remains with you and lives in you. So this is our Holy Spirit. And you know, it's wonderful about this verse. It says, and you know him. You know him. And sometimes I think, you know, we know Jesus. There's all lots about Jesus in the Bible and the Father God. But it says here, you know him. You know Holy Spirit. And I'm thinking about that. And, you know, we know Holy Spirit because he's the God that lives on this earth inside of us. See, Father's in heaven. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. Holy Spirit is God here with us. So we do know him. We do know him. Okay. All right. Now, Holy Spirit is just like God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son in his nature, his power, and his purpose. Everything he does is like the Father. It's like, it's hard to almost distinguish between them. It really is. It really is. But I've been developing more of a relationship with Holy Spirit. And that's part of what I want to share with you is a lot of stories about Holy Spirit. Okay, the first thing he told me to teach about was friend. So in John 15:15, Jesus said, no longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You know, God longs for friendship with his people. He wants to be friends with us. And through the Holy Spirit, we have that friendship. You have that continual relationship with God through Holy Spirit because he's here with you. He's inside of you. Okay. So I asked Holy Spirit, tell me, what is a good friend? Okay. You can pick your ideal friend out there. What would they be like? And these are the characteristics he told me. Okay. First one is, a really good friend would be somebody that you relate to, who has the same interest. And so if you think about your interests, maybe you're musicians or artists or teachers or whatever your interests are, you know, who do you think put those in? Who do you think kind of inspired you in that direction? It's got to be Holy Spirit. So, you know, he knows your interest. He's interested in it because he gave it to you, and he wants to relate to you in that fashion. So if you think about the things that you're bent towards, know that he loves them too, and that's why he gave them to you, and he wants to relate to you with them. Another thing you look for in a really good friend is someone you laugh with, right? You got to have a good, fun relationship with a good friend. You have to be able to laugh with them. Well, I'm going to tell you a funny thing with Holy Spirit is I go to this place, this safe place with Holy Spirit takes me there, and he brings me to Jesus, and I've been writing these down. And anyway, there's one time I always start out by asking Holy Spirit to take me into this place, and then I always ask him to show me where Jesus is. Well, this one time I said, Holy Spirit, I want to see Jesus' face. Okay, and so I see this humongous Jesus face, right? Normally, it's Jesus and I, person-to-person relating. Well, I see this big old Jesus face, and he's laughing, and I'm laughing. And I go, oh, Holy Spirit, you know, because he takes me literally. He's being funny, right? So I said, no, I want to see the whole thing. So the face kind of goes away, and Jesus walks up to me. But anyway, I've had lots of these encounters with him. But I've noticed that the Holy Spirit does have a sense of humor, and he can be funny sometimes. Okay, he takes me literally sometimes. All right, another good quality of a friend is someone you can share your deepest concerns with. A good friend is somebody you can really talk deep with, and the neat thing about Holy Spirit is that he knows all of your concerns, and he's probably the best listener you'll ever find. Because you talk to him, and he can listen as long as you want to talk, and he's going to console you, and he's going to help steer you in the right direction. All right. Someone who knows you intimately. That's another good quality of a friend. And, of course, there's nobody more than God that knows you intimately because he created you. Okay. All right. Somebody who's not afraid to speak the truth to you. You know, sometimes we have friends that stay on the surface level, and, you know, you may be going down a bad path, and they just kind of let you go there. But a good friend is going to stop you and speak truth to you and tell you where you're going, if you're going down the wrong place. And that's what Holy Spirit is. In John 16:13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. And the thing I have found about Holy Spirit is he's gentle. He's gentle. I have some areas in my life that are not really good, some bad habits. And I found that he's not like beating me over the head to get me to straighten things out. What he's doing is he's working at me slowly to kind of go deeper into those places back where maybe I was wounded and believed some lies about myself, and so then I developed some bad habits. You see how he is? It's not about just shaking you. You got to quit that now. You know, he's gentle with us. He speaks truth, but he walks us through the right way to get there. All right. Another good aspect of a good friend is someone who walks with you through your sorrows and your joys. I know when we go through hardships, sometimes that's the time when we really call on God because, you know, you're in a hard time and you're desperate for him, right? But have you ever thought about it? He really wants to be that involved in your joys too. When you are going through a wonderful, you know, mountaintop experience, wonderful things are going on, you just got to pull God in and let him enjoy it with you because that, you know, he really wants that part too. All right, let's see. Someone who you can ask for advice, right? A good friend. We ask advice from our good friends. James 1:5 says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. Now, asking for wisdom. You know, sometimes you think wisdom is this really high thing. I mean, the super wisdom stuff. But you know what I ask for? There's a lot of times at night I'm standing in my kitchen and I'm going, oh, I don't want to make dinner. And so I'll say, oh, God, show me what I can make for dinner that's really easy. And you know what? He does. Isn't that amazing? Or sometimes I'm in a parking lot, and where is my car? Lord, show me where my car is. Now, you know, you think that's funny, but that is actually asking for wisdom because I need it all the time. But the thing that I have discovered is the best time to ask for wisdom is when you're praying for someone. To ask God, how do I pray for this person? Because I went through so much times where I am so bored with praying because I'm saying the same thing over and over. And, you know, I think I know how to pray for that person, but I really don't. And I think that's why I was getting bored with my prayers, because they weren't the right prayers. And so now when I'm praying for somebody, I sit down and I say, Holy Spirit, how should I pray for this person? And then I pray what he has given me. And it's like, wow, yeah, this is good. You know? And you know how much more powerful those prayers are than, you know, than my dumb prayers that sometimes I just repetitive prayers. You know, the Bible talks about don't pray repetitively. Well, that's what I did. Anyway, and that's asking for advice. The last thing I have about a good friend is someone you love. Well, I think it's interesting that the Bible actually commands us to love God. Love the Lord your God, you know, with all your whole heart, all your soul, all your mind. But we don't love God because we're commanded to love him. We love him because he's relational and he's worthy of our love. And we just love him because he's so involved in our lives and you just want to be with him, you know. So that's, all right, that's what I had for friendship. All right, the second thing that Holy Spirit asked me to talk to you about is how he is a guide. John 16:13, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, and he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you the things to come. Now, isn't that fascinating? Don't you all want to know the things to come? You want Holy Spirit to tell you things that's going to happen, right? I remember when I first read that when I was a new believer, it's like, yes, this is what I want. I want to know everything. And, of course, that's not how it works. You know, it's not like he's going to make me the oracle of the world or anything. But he gives you the things that you need, right, for what's to come. And, you know, it's amazing because he's always with you. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit. You can't go anywhere without him. He's available to guide you everywhere, everywhere. So I'm going to tell you a couple of stories about Holy Spirit's guiding of me. Last summer, we were having some construction done on the house. And I had this nasty little chihuahua, little fat thing. Her name... You know her. She's pretty bad, right? Okay, Dolly. But I can't help loving Dolly, though, because she's mine, you know, no matter how bad she is. And she would, you know, we didn't want her biting the construction workers. So took her over to my daughter Dory's house in Florissant. And Dory was going to watch her for a while. Well, I get a call from Dory. Dory's cat, Pumpkin, scared Dolly. So Pumpkin is this little cat that's smaller than this little fat chihuahua. Dolly ran away. So, I mean, she just ran, disappeared. She's out in Florissant somewhere. And, you know, this dog drives me nuts, but I just started crying because it was like, I didn't think that dog meant that much to me, but she did. So I'm going out there, and we're trying to find Dolly, and we can't find her. Dolly had been gone for about 4 or 5 hours, and I was thinking, this is it. She's gone, you know. And I said, I'm not giving up. And Holy Spirit, you're going to help me. And I'm walking down the road, and I'm just saying, Holy Spirit, guide me to Dolly. Just guide me to Dolly. And so as I'm walking, I get to this person's property, and I see, like, there's the fields and the trees and stuff behind there, and I'm thinking, I'm going to cut through their driveway to go there because that's where I think Dolly is, right? And I'm talking to Dory. Dory's with me, my daughter, and she says, don't go. this is somebody's property. And I said, we're going. And so we start going, and the guy comes out on the deck, and I'm thinking, oh, no. And he goes, are you looking for a little dog? I go, yes. And he said, well, she came through here about 4 hours ago. And I'm going, okay. But we walked up in the mountains, came back and praying, and there Dolly walks right out of the grass, pick up the fat little thing. And so, but I was so relieved. But, you know, see, I asked Holy Spirit to guide me. And, you know, I didn't go through anybody else's property, just that one. That's the only time I turned, and because he was just inspiring me where to find that little thing. Anyway, another story about guiding is quite a few years ago, Brian Fenimore was seeing who wanted to go to Africa with him on a mission trip. And, you know, Africa is a big thing, and it's like, okay, Lord, I'd like to go, but I don't want to go unless you really want me to go. So you got to make this very clear to me. And it's amazing how you can just ask him to make it clear to you and how he does that. We had a missionary come here, and the missionary was speaking, and he was dividing up the congregation into continents like this, like each one of these sections. And guess what section I was in? Africa. Right. And that was just one of the little things. But it's amazing how you just ask him, make this clear, and the interesting ways that he does it is really fun to see. Okay. That was guide. The next aspect of Holy Spirit is protector. 2 Thessalonians 3:3 says, but the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. Okay. Now, we know we have an enemy out there that hates us. He is evil, right? He hates us. And what does he do? He likes to batter us down, right? He likes to remind us of our failures. He likes to discourage us from walking in our true calling. He likes to tempt us, right? Well, what is he described of in the Bible? He likes to kill, steal, and destroy, right? So why doesn't he just kill us? I mean, you think about it. Why is he just tempting us when he could just, you know, take us out? And that's because we got Holy Spirit's protection. I think, you know, the Holy Spirit here is holding him back and only allowing him to go so far, because if he could, he would just take all of us out in one sitting right here, right? He doesn't want us around. He doesn't want us spreading the gospel or doing the things of the Lord. So Holy Spirit is there. He's holding back. And I think that we would be amazed if we saw how much he was holding back the enemy from getting us, from doing the bad things to us. I think we should always be aware of that and be thankful. But, you know, you can also ask for protection, too. I ask for protection when I start feeling like I'm going to get clobbered, you know. Like even coming up here and speaking, this isn't natural to me. And so I've had to ask for protection this week of the enemy. Don't get my family. You can't get my family. Can't mess up my dogs. You know, you can't. See, I had to bind him because I just didn't want any distractions. And so we can do that. Now I'm going to tell you a story about my sister. And this just happened this last week. Her name's Polly. She lives in Montana, and she was planning this two-week trip. She was traveling down from Montana, and she was going to visiting all kinds of family members along the way and end up for a week in Texas. And about a few days into her trip, her dog got sick. Really, really sick. I mean, really bad sick. This dog was, like, on death's door, and she had to take it to an emergency room in St. George in Utah, and they were pumping him full of fluids and probiotics and antibiotics, you know, all the things you can do. And they love their dog. You know, we're a dog family. And they decided they had to cut their trip short because they just couldn't take this dog on this long trip. It was so sick. So they turned around, went back to Montana. Well, when she got there, she was talking to a friend, and a friend said, well, maybe that's God's protection. Maybe something bad was going to happen on the trip, and he was protecting you from it. And, you know, she thought about that. And it was actually very encouraging to her. And I was thinking, you know, when you're in deep disappointment because something didn't happen that you wanted, maybe you should think about, maybe the Lord is protecting me from something. Maybe if I took that path or did that thing, things would be worse. And so it's a way of bringing encouragement out of disappointment. Well, what ended up happening is they, when they got home, the dog got better, but they got a call from their son, who lives in Spokane, and he was on the verge of committing suicide. But they weren't in Texas. They were only about 5 hours away now. So they drove out yesterday to see him, and he's doing a lot better. So it really wasn't protecting them from something that was going to happen to them. It was protecting their son because he needed them there at that moment. So, you know, God is so involved. And, you know, you're on the road and your dog is getting sick and you think, God, why are you doing this to me? But there's always that bigger picture, that bigger story. All right. There's another part of the Holy Spirit's protection, and that is his empowerment. He empowers us to take authority over the evil one. In Ephesians 2:6, it says, "For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realm because we are united with Christ Jesus." So what does being seated in the heavenly realm mean? If you're seated there with Jesus, you're seated there because he has delegated his power and his authority to you on this earth. We may be here, but our identity is right up there with him. Okay? So when we have that power and that authority because of our identity in Christ, we can stop the enemy in his tracks too. You know, it's good to ask God to help you and to protect you, but it's also good to use your power and authority. And so when I say, it's like when Chris was up here and he was binding the enemy, any foul spirits from coming into this place. Now, he's using his position as seated in heavenly places with Jesus, his power and authority to do that. Now, when Chris is binding them, is it his physicalness that's stopping him? Is it his mental power that's stopping him, the enemy from coming in here? No, his faith in knowing who he is in Christ, Holy Spirit is using that to block the enemy from coming into this place. So we are partnering with Holy Spirit in protecting us from the enemy by using our faith, our power, our authority that Jesus has delegated to stop the enemy's movement. And your faith and your doing that, the Holy Spirit is the one that is using his power to block that. But he's going through your faith. All right. That was on protection. I know this is very jumpy, but these are the things that Holy Spirit told me to speak about. So I think he picked these because I had good stories with him. All right. The last one was dreams. I love this one. In Joel 2:28, it says, "Then, after doing all those things, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions." I love this verse because this is Holy Spirit. This is the time in the Holy Spirit. He's poured out on all of us, and he's given us prophecy, dreams, and visions. These are some of my favorite things. So let's look at a little bit of prophecy. In 1 Corinthians 14:1, it says, "Let love be your highest goal. But you should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy." So right here, it's telling us to desire this. That means ask for it. Don't just wait and say, "Oh, Holy Spirit, whatever you want to give me is fine." Say, "No, I want to prophesy." And I heard this a long time ago, and so that I asked for it. I said, "Lord, I want to have that ability to prophesy." And it's not like it was like that, and all of a sudden I'm a prophet, you know. It slowly happens over time as I'm praying for it. as I'm practicing, I'm being able to see things for other people and speak into their lives. Well, the reason I bring this up under dreams is because in the verse in Joel, it says, you will prophesy, dream, have dreams and visions. And so, you know, it's good to ask for dreams too. Ask the Lord when you're going to bed at night. Give me one of your dreams, Lord. Or during the day, when you see visions are like dreams, but you're in a waking state. And you can ask the Lord for these too. All right. So with dreams, I have found that majority of dreams, almost all of mine, are symbolic, which means that they're not going to be straightforward. In the Bible, there's one really straightforward dream, and that's when Joseph got heard in a dream to take Mary and the baby Jesus and get out, go now, go to Egypt. That was straightforward. He got up, he left. I haven't had any of those. All of mine seem to be the symbolic kind where there's all kinds of weird things happening. But the thing about it is you don't want to just have this dream and say, ooh, I don't understand that. Write it down. Pray over it. There's a lot of people who have really good insight into dream interpretation. Seek them out and have them help you to interpret the dream, because a lot of times these dreams are about you, your calling, your future, things that you want to know about, but if you don't search them out, you're not going to find out. I do that all the time. I bug those poor ladies like your mom. I ask her to interpret my dreams all the time. And Val, and there's other people in the church that whenever I get one, I want to know what it is, so I ask for help. Okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you one of my dreams. I've been writing for about, let's say, about 16 years now. I've been recording all my dreams, all my visions, everything that Jesus shows me, whether it's sleeping, waking, whatever. And I've got a 200-page type document of this stuff, because it's good to record these, because you can go back and read them too and pray over them, and sometimes God will reveal more things to you. Okay, here's one of my wild dreams. I was driving my car down a road headed for home. I know I was going to my house, but the surroundings were different. There were rolling grassy hills with deciduous trees. There was a big commotion in the road in front of me. Many people were standing there confused and frightened. A man stopped me as I approached. As I stopped, I saw that there were two mutilated, bloody bodies on either side of my car. I thought that I must get out and pray for their healing or even raise them from the dead. As I headed out of my car, the man who stopped me said that I must not go to them because what attacked them was still there. I then saw myself walking up a hill looking for what attacked the people. Then over the top of the hill, five or six creatures came bounding straight towards me. They were huge, the size of horses, but they each had two lions' heads. They were fierce and roaring. I immediately stuck my hand out towards them and commanded them to stop in the name of Jesus. Can you imagine doing this in your dream? Wow. So anyway, they immediately stopped. They looked confused as to why they had stopped. Then I commanded them to turn around and leave in the name of Jesus, and they also obeyed this command. Then I got in my car and went home. And so, you know, I mean, this is weird symbolism, right? So this was a dream I had quite a long time ago, and this was as I was getting into the healing ministry. And I prayed through this dream. I asked friends about to help me interpret it. And what came out of this was the Lord was showing me, don't pray for the symptoms. It's like the people, the mutilated bodies. Go to the source of what's causing the illness and deal with that. And so, you know, couldn't the Lord just told me that instead of this wild, crazy dream? But he wants you to search it out. When he gives you something like that, he wants you to take interest in it, find out what it means, and seek it out. All right. Those are the four things that that Holy Spirit asked me to talk to you about today, there's one more thing. And over a year ago, I went to a Terry Wardle conference on formational prayer. And one of the things that formational prayer is really about, it's like counseling somebody, only you don't have to do the counseling. You just bring Jesus in. Holy Spirit takes them to Jesus, and Jesus does the counseling. It's about letting the Lord come in and speak to you. And so I had this experience where I invited Holy Spirit in, and I told him to sanctify my imagination and show me Jesus. And I saw this beautiful place. And you remember, I'm just sitting there, eyes shut, fully awake, but the Lord's taking over my imagination. And I see Jesus, and he tells me, we're going on a big adventure, right? And that's all I got at the conference. But then I thought, I'm going to do this at home. And so every day I started doing this. And Holy Spirit was taking me to these places. It's actually one place. It's this beautiful, big, grassy area. There's a tree in the middle. There's a stream. There's a big lake on this side. Colorado Forest is back here. This is how I usually come out of when I come into the vision, I'm standing at the edge of the Colorado Forest. But the forest changes as you go around this big grassy landscape. There's a tunnel that takes me to heaven. There's a deciduous forest down on this side. There's an area over here where sometimes I go back into biblical times. And there's mountains beyond with an ocean. You know, all this stuff I'm describing to you all started becoming more and more clear because I've been there over 280 times, and he takes me to different places each time. And I do this as often as I can, probably about 4 or 5 times a week. So this is one of the things I want to encourage you with, is having this relationship with Holy Spirit to where you can sit down with him and ask him, show me Jesus. Take me there. And I think that's one of the biggest roles of Holy Spirit on earth, is to point us to Jesus. And he does. And I, after doing this several times and realizing I can't write these down because I can't remember them, so now what I do is I sit down and I put a pillow on my lap, I stick my phone there, I go to voice memos, and I describe what's happening. I turn my voice memo on and my eyes are shut, and as I'm going into this, I'm just describing everything that happens, and then I take it and I write it down. That's why I have 200 type pages of all my dreams and visions, is because I'm taking the time to record these exactly and write them down. Now, I'm going to read one of them. This is one out of the whole thing. And the reason I want to read this to you is because in these visions, sometimes Jesus has just taken me, teaching me about things. Sometimes he's just talking to me about my day. Sometimes he gives me inspiration. But all of the time, I'm developing my relationship with him. Holy Spirit takes me there. I develop a relationship with him. He takes me to Jesus, and Jesus and I have such a deep conversation that even though it's going on in here, it's strengthening my relationship. This is how I always start. I ask Holy Spirit to come. Holy Spirit, come. Come and present Jesus to me. I am standing at the clearing. I walk past the boat. I can see that Jesus is standing at the far side of our tree. I run up to the tree and slowly walk around to where Jesus is. He is smiling, and I say, are you hiding from me again? And Jesus takes me in his arms and says, I never hide from you. You saw my robe. I am laughing at him, and he says, we are going to walk up the stream today. He tells me to jump to the other side, so I do. He doesn't follow me. He just reaches out his hand, and I take his hand, and we are barely holding hands, walking on opposite sides of the stream. We are walking slowly. I feel like I'm going to fall in because we are trying to maintain holding hands with water flowing between us. Jesus pulls my hand, and I have to step into the stream to keep holding on to him. He is laughing, and I say, why did you do that? And he says, I want you to keep holding my hand no matter how hard it seems. even if it means that you have to walk where you don't want to walk. He then steps into the stream, and we walk side by side in the water. He says, "When your path gets difficult, you know that I will be walking with you." And I say, "This is difficult walking upstream in the middle of the water." I stumble a little, and he catches me. He says, "Even when you stumble, I will be there to catch you." I can see a white horse drinking from the stream ahead of us. Jesus leads me out of the water, and we walk along the far side of the stream. We get to the horse, and we both get to this shimmery, we both pet his shimmery white coat. Jesus cups his hand for me to step into them, and he says, "Get up on the horse." I step into Jesus' hands, and he helps me onto the bare back of the horse. There are no reins on the horse. Jesus is patting the horse's head and then starts walking upstream. The horse follows. We get to the woods, and he says, "There will be rewards for following me into the hard places in life. It won't always be hard. You will find comfort and direction with me, with nice surprises at the end." Then Jesus shouts out a word of command to the horse, and the horse immediately starts galloping through the forest. I hold on to the withers and tightly grip the horse with my legs. It is a glorious ride and very exhilarating. The horse even jumps some logs. I am surprised that I stay mounted on him. We come out of the woods on the heaven side, and the horse slows down to a walk. I can see that Jesus never left me. He is walking right by my side. I look down at him and say, "You are fast." And he says, "Even when you are on a glorious ride, I will always be with you." I reach my hand down and say, "Ride with me." Jesus takes my hand, and I help pull him up to where he's sitting behind me. He puts his arms around me, and the horse walks around the grassy hills. He says, "This is lovely riding with you. I want to share in your joys. I'm enjoying this ride with Jesus' arms around me." Okay. Now, this usually takes me about 15 to 20 minutes in my imagination. And I don't know what's going to happen next. It's not like I'm a writer. I couldn't have written this. I just, one thing at a time, it happens. And then I just speak it into my phone, and then I wait for what's next. And this has taken me over a year to get to this spot with the Lord, to where I see him so clearly, and that I get these beautiful visions. But it's not a place that is beyond all of your reach. And what I would like to do today is just take a short amount of time and allow each of you to go to this place. And it won't be my place. It'll be your place. I'm going to walk you through this. And Holy Spirit is going to sanctify your imagination. So, Mark, would you come on up? What I'm going to do is I'm going to pray. And then I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. And I'm going to have you breathe in the Holy Spirit. Now, when you breathe in the Holy Spirit, as I'm speaking, I want you to say the words I'm saying in your head. When I say, "Come, Holy Spirit," I want you to breathe in, "Come," and breathe out, "Holy Spirit." And then think of what I am saying. And when after the last thing I say, just keep your eyes shut and let Holy Spirit take you wherever he wants to take you. It's going to be different for every single person. And it may just be something very short. Don't expect what I just read. This took a long time to get to this point. Mine started out very simple. Okay. Holy Spirit, I just ask you to come and make your presence so thick and real in here, that you would just take over the minds of the people here, that they would be able to see Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill me. Come, Holy Spirit, and sanctify my imagination. Come, Holy Spirit, and show me Jesus.
It's our joy to offer these podcasts. We sure hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, if you're curious about ways that you can more deeply be involved with this community, please drop us a line at nccfcolorado@me.com or like our Facebook page. Thank you and God bless.